¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. If I were not here on a thirsty Thursday, we are live, of course, from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app, free to download, of course, in Google Play and Apple App Store. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And, of course, my co-host, J.C. Sherbert. As usual, how we doing, sir?
I'm chilling. I'm good. I'm hanging in there. I've been writing about the offensive line, talking about spring practice today, trying not to think about baseball. And I there's just been so many good takes on these shows. I mean, I thought I had a decent take on coffee yesterday morning. There's just like nothing else that to talk about.
I know it's bad.
Now
it's all on Shane's shoulders. Now
what I worry about, dude. It's like I'll say one thing about this. My concern is things around here don't happen. You know, South Carolina don't happen quick enough sometimes. Now there is a bunch of impatience on the internet. Let's be clear about that. But what I'm concerned about is. Leadership gives it too long when right now it's clear things aren't working out, but it's baseball. And then they can give you just a little nugget of hope, right? Maybe they win one game this weekend and, you know, beat North Carolina in the midweek and now you go to Georgia and then you get tattooed, you know, and then it gets the later the season goes, the more you should may as well just not make a change. You know, this with six games left or whatever is going to do nobody any good because the team's not going to turn it around. And, you know, it's just kind of crazy. So, anyway, Harrison says, don't lose to Mississippi State in week 3. Yeah. For the third straight year, I have no idea what to think about Mississippi State.
Right.
It's like they got 50 new players last year. They got 50 new players this year. They were better last year. Went from 2-10 to 5-8 and actually made the Mayo Bowl. I will say this about their quarterback is good. What is it? Kamario Taylor, I think is his name.
Yeah, I think that is right, actually.
I like what I see out of him and think he could be dangerous. Keep in mind, too, that's a family reunion because Jeff Lebby is Kendall Brown's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And so they're going to come at Carolina like with the same offensive stuff.
So well, that's good. At least everybody will be prepared defensively to handle that. By that,
yeah, point, right? Be ready to go. Yeah, they asked Fred Johnson in the media availability the other day, what's the difference between Kendall Brown's offense and others? The tempo? It's just so the much faster. Yeah. It seems like everybody kind of has gotten that. I mean, operationally and stuff. And look, I'm not saying that the key to winning in college football these days is to just go super fast. I mean, that's not, that was a fad that came and went for a while because you know they changed the rules a little bit and then. You know, defenses always catch up. but I do think you need to operate at a pretty brisk tempo in college.
Yeah.
I think it's to your benefit to do it. But, you know, I mean, you look at Buster Faulkner, who's now at Florida, who's one of the, you know, considered one of the better OCs in the country. That guy, you know, they don't really, Georgia Tech wasn't really tempo. They would adjust the tempos every now, but they're more like multiple personnel groupings and different looks and formations and things like that. It's much more kind of pro-ish to Todd Monken, who went back to the pros, was like that at Georgia, won a national championship. Michigan certainly didn't go fast. No, Ohio State did when they won it. You know, Indiana wasn't necessarily a tempo team. It was kind of RPOs. So, you know, Miami, none of those teams really were like the old school, like basketball on turf kind of deal. Yeah. But, you know, Briles, I keep looking back at what he did at Arkansas, because that's the SEC comparison. And I look at 2022 because they were really good in 2021 and set them. They went 9-4. They beat all their rivals. They beat LSU. They beat Texas. They beat Texas A&M. The piggies did. That was year two. COVID was year one. So year two under Pittman. They had Barry Odom as their defensive coordinator, which was obviously a good hire. And but I look at 2022 because they kind of hit some adversity. And that team, it's easy to look at somebody's best team and go, oh, that's what it's going to be. And it's not. You know, the 2022 team played Carolina, so we all got a face full of it. You don't want to talk about like when you want to play a team. You know, in 2022, Carolina plays Arkansas week two, where they're coming off a big win at home over Cincinnati, who I believe in the playoff the year before, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe they went another year. SEC opener, I hadn't played Carolina in a while. Carolina has some injuries on defense. And it's like, you know, could you hit them at full strength anymore? You know, and plus you had the mad scientist dialing up ball plays on the sidelines. That was the game Juice Wells broke out. Then the next week against Georgia, he didn't even get a single target. That should have been like, hey, there's something askew here.
Yeah, there's something that doesn't quite look right.
But looking into that team, like, so because it's a nice, it was a really good offense statistically. When they were healthy, they were very good. And so the thing is, Phil, it's like, so what it, that's not too far in the past, 2022. So what did they have that Carolina didn't and vice versa? You know, I think that what they did have before the end of the year when they had some injuries is they had what was considered to be one of the best offensive lines in the SEC and college football. That's Sam Pittman developing those. They were big and fit. We had Trey Biddy on, remember, the week because we had just started the show. And we had Trey Biddy on the week of the games. Great interview. And Trey talked about that. And, so they had an offensive line. South Carolina's offensive line's a question mark. By the way, the first five that were out at practice, this does not mean this is the starting five. Left tackle, Seth Smith. Left guard, Hank Purvis, Baymax. Leaner Baymax now.
That's right. Yeah.
Center, no surprise, Carter Miller. Right guard, Kojo Poku. Right tackle, Shed Surratt, as expected. So, we'll see. You know, left tackle, obviously, is a question mark. I mean, you got an FCS transfer out there, an older guy, a six-year guy. You know, who else can compete with him or whatever? Who knows? But that's kind of how it lined up. And that's just the first group out. That doesn't mean those are the starters. You just kind of get an idea. What I like about information like that, Phil, like, because we were talking, you know, Shed Surratt, will he play? Will he slide back inside? What will he play? You know, and that's before we knew for sure Josiah was going to be out. So we know now he's repping it right tackle, maybe other places too. We know Poku is repping at right guard. We know Purvis is repping at left guard, and Miller's obviously the center. So of these guys, I think three or four will be starters if they stay healthy.
Yeah, and the names on the list here, JC, are not any – it's not coming as a surprise to anybody because they've all been kind of talked about in the rotation.
It's possible that when they play Kent State, that Peak is back, you know.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to sit there and get anybody's hopes up about it. In my mind, I'm like, well, hopefully he can make it back by that Mississippi State game we just talked about. But, that's the thing with that. So it could be Peak out there instead of Sesmith. It could be Damola Ajidahun out there. Drayton Arnett. Dane Arnett. There's a lot of options, but that's kind of what they're working with right now. And there's some gnashing of tooth. I say gnashing of tooth sometimes, because I believe sometimes people that just go way overboard about with no details, probably have a couple of teeth missing, or maybe just one overall.
Or maybe they only have one. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, by the way, I'll give you a heads up on this, Mad Dog. Go ahead and find a weird cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't send you one today.
No, you're good. Yeah, we were kind of.
Krager said, well, right guard, given his size. Me too, but you know what, Craig? We got to give credit to Hale McGranahan, because when they signed Purvis, Hale said left guard. So that's what they've been looking at. And he also, if you go from his listed weight at Purdue till now, he's lost 30 pounds. He has leaned up. But based on the data, right, with history, it's a little surprising. But, Poku being in there is not surprising. I think Phil ended up having to take a break there. That's fine. But we'll just see. We'll see how it works out. Maybe tomorrow he's working it right. Maybe they're cross-training him. Maybe somebody had an illness and they'll be in there. I like the tangible, at the different positions here, because it is, there are so many guys that are on this roster that are new, but that also have position flexibility. Shed Surratt obviously started 9 games or 6 games at left guard and 3 at right tackle last year. Poku can play tackle or guard. Carter Miller's a center. Hank Purvis, is he a left or right guard? You got Darnett that can play tackle. Seth Smith is a tackle mostly, but you have all this position flexibility. And so it's nice to kind of see, this is what the idea or the thought of what they're thinking. I don't think this is a state secret or anything that's going to cause them to, you're not going to trick anybody. You're not going to trick Kent State by, guess what we did? We started Seth Smith at center.
That's a surprise.
Great. He won the game. So lots of talk about that. But that team at Arkansas, back to that, Kendall Browse had a really good offensive line. I think at South Carolina, we don't know. I think at wide receiver, though, Phil, in 2022, you had Burks that left the year before. 2022, man, I would it wasn't a struggle, but they were kind of – they weren't like other schools that had. Carolina, at the end of the day on that 2022 team, when they started using them, with Juice Wells and Jalen Brooks and Josh Van and those guys.
Yeah.
They, quite frankly, they were better at receiver than that Arkansas team. And I think this year's Gamecock receiving core is better as well. When you look at it, I'm starting to kind of in my mind, this is in my mind, right? But something ish like Harbor, Pup Sellers, and Nitro Tuggle as your starting 3 receivers.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't hate it.
Then you rotate in, some
Murph
and Jaden Gibson, Murph, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that, there's a leg up. So O-line, you'd probably give it to 2022 Arkansas. Wide receiver, you go to the Gamecocks this year. Tight end. Okay, so Trey Knox was their tight end that year, big time. He was one of their best receivers. Trey came to Carolina, caught just about everything they threw to him. Just about, not everything. Wasn't the yards after catch monster that Josh Simon was. Carolina, do they have somebody like, I don't know. Brady Hunt probably is a leader in the clubhouse there. They got dragged from UCF, who's a from what Darren Usher said, is a hand in the dirt guy. Caden Ramsey will be in, I think, this summer, and he's kind of like his big receiver, you know, to split out. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be part of what they do or not. You know, there's a lot of different opinions about Hunt. I think Hunt's capable of doing some damage in this offense. I just think he's got to get better at blocking. You know, so I would probably give, just because I liked Trey Knox, because I met him a couple times when he was at Carolina, I'll give that to 2022 Arkansas. All right, let's get to running back. I got to give it to Arkansas because I think Carolina's got a lot of depth at running back and a lot of guys that are good, and they're all just like good.
Yeah.
Rocket Sanders is so rare, though. I don't know that they have anybody like Rocket there. So I'll give, as far as the starter goes, I'll give it to Arkansas. Maybe depth Carolina gets their quarterback. Definitely going with Lenora Sellers over KJ Jefferson. Not even close to similar. Some people love to make that comparison. It's not even, they're just both big.
Right. Yeah.
They're both big. And so that's the deal. Krager said, Lex Sire said, Donovan Murphy has the best hands on the team. Say it's thrown to him. He'll catch it. I'm predicting him show up big this season. I am too.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he'll start. I think he is. I thought he should have gotten a more run last year.
Same.
You know, yeah. But maybe he did. Maybe his snaps were up and they just never threw it. I mean, the receivers freaking disappeared last year in games. Even in games when they're winning, they're just like, let's just run the ball, you know.
Run.
I mean, you're lucky to be recruiting good receivers after doing that. Not that you should call plays in a game based on recruiting. That should never happen. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that Kentucky game with that big, long, boring – it doesn't matter if it's boring or not. Boring is good in football. That drive where you're really just kind of creeping down the field and milking the clock with a 3-touchdown lead.
Right.
I mean, now if you're up 3 – that's a thing of beauty. That's an epic drive that will live in infamy. Mm. You're up 3 touchdowns. You know, you need work. You need to score points. Feel good about yourself. I don't know. I never understood that. But, you know, so you don't know. I mean, Donovan Murph may be absolutely great. So I just thought Pup Sellers, because Pup, you know, there is, from what Kendall Browse says, there's specific positions. And as a slot, I think Jaden Sellers is – pretty good slot receiver. I mean, you know, as far as what fits that, but who knows? But I'm fired up to watch Murph. I mean, all these guys, dude, I've seen a lot of highlights for, and I don't, you know, I don't ever base anything off the social media that the school puts out. It just doesn't matter. I mean, I've seen a lot of All Americans in those videos that never play. Malik Clark has had a couple of nice catches. Yeah. 13. I had one where he went up way high and got it. And then the one the other day was kind of like a little out pattern. He reached down and grabbed it with his hands. So you never know. Yeah, you never know. Jaden Gibson's not even out there, but we'll see what happens with all that. I'm fired up to kind of look at it. But I do think Carolina's receivers, quarterback is better. Offensive line, I can't say that. Running back, can't say that. Tight end, it just kind of depends on how you use it. So I think if the offensive line, and I hate to even say it because we're going to say it a million times. If they can do some things and not be a liability, I think Carolina has the backs. They have the talent to have a good offense next year. I think, you know, that Arkansas team, obviously, for a long time before injuries hit them, did have a good offense. And so that's kind of my comparison because it's SEC. You know, I mean, that's what people want to know about. Nobody really cares if you average 45 points a game at Houston and the Conference USA or the American at the time. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Hell, you don't care if they average that in the Big 12. The Big 12 still isn't playing D, especially the Texas schools. So, to the ITG chat box here on March Madness Thursday. And by the way, Why are you playing this? Why did you put that weapon together so quickly, Gump?
I didn't. But I wasn't trying to play that.
By the way, when we got Alex Jones Gamecock Smorgasbord coming on. When we get done with the smorgasbord, we're done. It usually goes to 45 anyway, but we're gonna get out of here and watch a little March Madness if that's okay with y'all. But I'm definitely gonna get to all this. The chat boxers here. Harrison says if football starts 3-0, it'd be the first time in the Beamer era. Yeah, they all. Everybody was thinking they'd do it with Vandy this year. Wasn't meant to be. In fairness to Shane Beamer, let me just break this down. I mean, in 2021, their SEC opener was at Georgia, and that was game three. 2022, after Georgia State, it was at Arkansas and then Georgia. You know, 2023 had the UNC game. You probably should have won. But game three was at Georgia. 2024, you should probably have been at 3-0 because they should have won that LSU game, you know, because they were 2-0. And then 2025, they were 2-0. So they've been close. I mean, he's doing a little better. You don't quite take that L in week two anymore. But I don't know. Let me think about it. So 21. So three of the five Beamer years, he has started 2-0 because they had Eastern Illinois and East Carolina in 2021, his first season. So he's got 3 2-0 starts. They don't start 2-0 this year, folks. Pack it up. Pack it up. Pack it in. I mean, there's no.
Things are going to get ugly if that happens.
It's not even it's ugly now.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Hideous. Disgusting.
That leg's going to have to come off, Steve.
I mean, I think we'll have great shows, dude, because I won't even talk about it. We'll just talk about clowns.
Right. Yeah, like, true. You know, that's true.
Or whatever topic, weird cartoons that we get off on. Lance is like, dude, if we start 3-0 with a win over a good Mississippi State team, the lattes will be overflowing. Yeah, Mississippi State game is important because it's the number one, you always want to win the SEC opener. Number two, you don't want them to beat you. You know how long it's been since Mississippi State's won a football game at Williams-Brice Stadium?
Gosh.
It hasn't been this century.
I was going to say, that's 19-something.
98. 98, which was a disaster of a year. And that was a game in 98 where I think reality just sort of set in, like, this team sucks. 98's also the year Mississippi State won the Western Division and went to the SEC Championship game. They were really good. They returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. 38-0. It's one of those noon kickoffs where the temperature was pretty high in September, October. At Williams-Brice, boy, that place emptied out. Well, nobody was going to sit around in that heat. The Carolina couldn't move the ball. They couldn't stop. It was awful. And he started kind of thinking, Brad Scott's done. It's done. It's done. But they haven't been to, you know, they haven't won at South Carolina. I mean, there's been, let's see, I don't even think it's been close all that often, man. The last game, the 37-30 game, I actually watched that game with Michael Flint at his condo. We were just hanging around talking football. We didn't go in. And the 37-30 game a couple of years ago was close, but I never got the sense Carolina was going to lose that one. Of course, the Florida game later on that they ended up miraculously losing. I didn't think they were going to lose that one either, but shows you what I know. But they haven't really been all that close. I don't remember a close. Maybe Harrison can remember a close Mississippi State game at home. So, yeah, Carolina's, you know, historically, history doesn't really matter. But historically, they should win that one. Then it's off to Alabama. It was on the air in Tuscaloosa today, Phil. They're worried about their – where have you heard this before? Their offensive line.
Oh, no.
Well, they lost Proctor and some of those other – they lost some dudes. And then they got in the point – they don't know – like, their fans – if Carolina fans are going to sit there and crap on Seth Smith because he's from Northern Arizona, they know nothing else about him. Now, I'm not saying Seth Smith's good, bad. He could be awful, right? Let's be clear about that. But it won't be because he played for the dang Lumberjacks last year.
Right.
Right. It won't be because of that. You know, but they got some guy and they named him the starting left tackle. And I guess that's just not up to their standards in Tuscaloosa. Well, this boy right here can't play. Oh, I see. Roll Tide. That Kalen DeBoer. Paul. That Kalen DeBoer needs to be fired.
Don't he know that boy can't play?
He can't play dead in a movie. Nevertheless, anywho. So they got offensive line issues. Did you get the feeling? I get the feeling about that Alabama game. I know it's the mighty Alabama Crimson Tide. You know, nobody's going to fault anybody for chalking it up as a loss. It's in Tuscaloosa. And DeBoer has won in Tuscaloosa a lot. But you get the feeling they're due. And I get the feeling this Alabama team this year is not going to quite be as strong
or resilient. Right. Yeah.
Like, resilient. I don't know about resilient because, Phil, when you cross over like that and you go from Saban to DeBoer, there's going to be some. A lot of their problems were mental. It's more of his players now, but I don't know. Plus, they're bringing in a new starting quarterback. I wish Rob Williams was in the chat box. He's been hyping Alabama. Hey, people are disrespecting him. I want to know what he's doing. But I think, you know, I think at some point you just got to. I mean, you know, Carolina's lost by 2-7 to those guys and had them down in the second half both times. And I think Alabama teams were better than they were. So you go there, and then you got Kentucky back home, who is everybody's, like, sleeper pick now. Because they signed the kid from Tennessee, the left tackle out of the point.
Oh,
who's good. I didn't know a left tackle can, like, change your destiny. I didn't know that's all that was missing off that roster last year.
The left tackle of destiny.
Anyway, gonna jump back in the chat box after this break on a March Madness smorgasbord Thursday. After this,
hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
We are officially opened at the all-new JT's Kia. You've got to see it to believe it.
We're serious about making your buying experience fast, friendly, and hassle-free.
Get grand opening 0% for 60 months on new JT's Kias. Put no money down and get my million-mile warranty. I'm so excited, savings up to $10,000.
I'll throw in $5,000 over book value for your trade. That's a grand opening for the record books.
Hurry to the all-new JT's Kia.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via gamecocktraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again Sports!
Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
Now back to Inside the Gamecocks, the show on a Meatloaf Monday.
This seems about right.
The show loves Spartanburg. Now back to Mad Dog and Sparkle City's finest, J.C. Sherbert.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the first hour here at the show. Heading into the Gamecocks Smorgasbord soon with Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. Sticking to the chat box here, J.C. Sorry, I was looking for trying to find this funny video. I think I have found one.
You did.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, one of those weird ones. It was highly rated.
Highly rated.
At least by, you know, the Instagram clicks.
That's good.
They're all weird. I kind of wish I knew where all this sprung from.
The well, there's a Trucker Phil character. Sorry, I'm trying to deal with this. back out of projects and a Canva and go to home. All right, chat box. Sorry, always be working. ABW,
always be working.
Lance calls Hank Purvis Hank the Tank. I like that,
yeah.
Krager says can't make much from practice four. Nah, that's why you shouldn't, people shouldn't take shots on Twitter.
No.
Chaco says, do you think Mazia went through a sophomore slump or was it our system? I think he went through a slump. He wasn't he took a big hit against A&M. I don't know if that's the cause of it or not, or if he just wasn't healthy. And just never really got it going last year, but I think it's both with him. He's going to have to get significantly better, in my opinion, to see the field and play.
Yeah.
But I respect the hell out of him for sticking around. And I think he's capable. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he got back and had kind of a resurgent year. He didn't get in the portal. I think the kid's got good hands, good instincts. He's a confident player. And I think he's also an emotional player. And that sometimes works against guys, like especially at receiver, where, you know, you kind of get in a rut and you know, you kind of get down. And from what everybody said about me, he's just a guy that loves competing, hates losing, loves success, hates failure. Sometimes those guys will get in a rut and they lose confidence a little bit. Lance says Pup's about to do numbers with Lenoris. Yeah. Harrison's got a starting wide receiver ballot for the first series. Sellers, Tuggle, and Harbor could interchange Murph with Tuggle, but I predict Tuggle for now. Also could open in four wide or five. So,
boy, how different would that kind of be for open up with an empty backfield on the very first play of the year?
Jackson Rapp, who came in last year, ran 4.3. Yeah, he's fast. So is Stone Fury. TD says a conversation with JB, Raising Cane's and Chick-fil-A are the two best chicken restaurants there are. I miss me some Bojangles, though.
Our argument was for Bojangles. I've never had Raising Cane's.
All right, so I'm going to tell you my Raising Cane's story. Because I'm predispositioned to dislike them because I don't talk a lot of women's basketball, but I do want Carolina's women's basketball program to do well. Kim Mulkey gets to LSU, and all of a sudden they're buying players. You know? And paying serious money. And what the Raising Cane's guy's an LSU guy. He's worth like $30 billion, by the way. Follow the chicken. And they're popping up all over the place. But my kids love it. Psychotically love it. First time I had it, I was like, I don't know. of churches sometimes. Oh, churches, my God, no. Scratch that. Not ch- never church. I'm never churches.
I'm never team.
I'm never churches. Last time I had church's chicken was before the East Carolina Carolina game in 1999 when I was in college, in hot weather. Let's just say my stomach with that and the old Milwaukee we were drinking, I didn't react well. No more churches. But so I had Raising Cane's. I got it. I was like, it's okay. I was like, I think they're getting by with sauce. So then, you know, I was in a nice mood and the kids like, and I was like, why don't we just get this tailgate tray, 25 chicken tenders, some sides. And they don't have so many sides, Raising Cane's. You know, we'll get it. Dude, they were delicious. Even without the sauce, they weren't living on sauce anymore in my head. Mm-hmm. And I, ever since I've liked it, I've actually gotten that more than Chick-fil-A recently, which is breaking news.
Yeah.
Right. So
how available is Chick-fil-A in your area? I mean,
it's here. Yeah, it's here. I mean, it's not as there's not one kind of in Homer Glen where I live. Mm-hmm. You know, the Wendy's closed and the Chili's closed, which is, it has nothing to do with Homer Glen. It's just Wendy's and Chili's are closing. But there's an Arby's, McDonald's, Burger King, Taco Bell, and a lot of local places and stuff, but not a Chick-fil-A yet. There is some property I have mine. There's not one in Lockport either, which is the town where the high school is. Closest one's in Orland Park, which has the mall. It's a bigger place. The population of Orland Park, Illinois, is bigger than the population of the city of Spartanburg. Anyway. But TD says Raising Cane's and Chick-fil-A. Harrison goes on to Carolina Titan is not a Raising Cane's guy. Chick-fil-A is the best. It's not even close. Titan, I was right there with you, dude. I mean, I don't know how I've changed. Maybe my taste buds are changing because I'm getting almost 50.
Too much.
I read the other day when you hit 50, you stop sweating as much. And I'm like, so now I'm going to the daggum sauna because I'm worried about impurities.
You got to flush them out.
Never mind, I ate a chili dog for lunch. You know, I'm going to that dang, I'm going to that dang sauna, right? You know, you know. So I was right there with you. I changed my mind, Titan. God, I feel horrible because I'm usually aligned with Carolina Titan on things. Like Carolina Titan and I usually have like the same opinion. Chaka said, hopefully Matt Fuller can be our rocket hander Sanders in the system. Good hands and breakaway speed. I hope so, too. I wouldn't say Fuller, but I think a lot of other people are higher on Matt Fuller than I am, and it's a shame because I was Mr. Matt Fuller for a while. And yeah. I don't know why. I haven't soured on him. I don't know. Hopefully, I hope that it's possible I'm just eating my words, right? When we get to and he's a 1,000-yard rusher. Let's all hope that. TD says, Dez, you and Missoula has been turning heads in the spring. Wish you would have stayed there. Yeah, TD, those are just eyeball test things, though. Photographs. Hmm. I mean, look, I've always thought Dez was good. That's part one. Part two, you're going to hear a lot about depth at edge this spring. Coaches are going to say it. People are going to write about it. I will say this, though. The coaches are talking about it because it's hard to practice when you're down to four guys, right?
Yeah.
It's just hard to practice because you've got one team, second team. And they are because all these other guys are limited. But they got four or five guys coming back. But yeah. 23-13 beat up a young Dak Prescott. Yeah, 13 was competitive early, but Carolina pulled away. 34-16, something like that. Prescott didn't play a whole lot. And then, or maybe he did, and they just weren't that good. I remember they beat him in 07. Spurrier was worried about that one. Ellis Johnson was at Mississippi State then. Beat him 38-21. And then 02, that was Jackie Sherrill's last year. They were terrible, and Holtz destroyed them at home. Rob said Keelan Russell. I love Keelan Russell. I don't know that he's going to be the starter. And he also says, I think Carolina could beat them. I think Bama could be 9-3, a step back by their standards. But I don't see them falling off a cliff. Well, my question would be, what are their standards? Nick Saban's not there anymore.
Right, yeah.
I mean, what are the true – I mean, standards for the program don't change with coaches. That's true. But I think that – I think they're a little unrealistic.
Have they realigned expectations, though?
Expectations.
Yeah.
Lance says the leg of destiny should be the place kicker. He's going to be the punter, Lance, but yeah. Rob said, everything I've heard about Russell speaks highly of his preparation, the series of his approach to the game. He has the physical tools. If DeBoer and Grubb can get him more accurate, his mobility will take the pressure off the quarterback and running in a traditional sense. Here's where I'd push back on that. Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb have never coached a guy that can run like that.
Yeah.
And they don't like to. They don't like to do that. They're passing. So that's where I would push back on that. And he's not going to be accurate overnight. And they love Austin Mack. I'm with you. It gets me a little fired up because I think it's coaching malpractice. Because what I would do if I were DeBoer, and you know, and DeBoer ain't going to go out and hire Kendall Briles or anybody like that. He's his own. It's his own offense. It's a great offense. But think about it. Think about when it's been good. Ty Simpson ran it well. Did Jalen Milroe thrive in that offense? Occasionally. But most of the time, not. It's like they didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, right.
And then out at Washington, it was Michael Penix. Michael Penix is mobile, kind of like Ty Simpson, but his throw game is on. I don't know. That's why I'm like that. I'm like that. Harrison said Mazio is going to begin the year at the 2 at slot behind Sellers on the depth chart. Kirk said Julian Walker in year 1 will be better than Dez in year 3. And I like his body type better. Yeah, that's the thing. They're saying Dez body type. But I don't know. I hope Dez kills it every time but one.
That's right. Every game but one.
TD says in some state news, I don't know that we are getting a new governor. That should be interesting. I don't know what. I don't know what that means. McMaster staying?
Finished my coffee.
I declare I'm not. I will not leave the state house.
I declare I'm not moving out.
Somebody tell me that.
I've been doing research on candidates as we get close to the primary, and I am thoroughly unimpressed with any of the choices that are out there.
If I were voting in South Carolina, there's just one I absolutely would not vote for. And she doesn't.
I've got two, and she's on my list.
I think she's insane, honestly. And I can't say too much because I doubt she would be listening to something like this, but she'll just call you out if you're male. There's some things about her I kind of respect, you know, but I, as governor of the state of South Carolina, no.
And then you look inside the General Assembly and you're like,
there's a lot that need to lose, but they all run unopposed.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then if there's somebody they don't like, they'll primary them, and then 400 people show up to vote. And they see and 250 of them see a dirty billboard. I guess they vote against the incumbent, even though they did nothing wrong. It's a dirty lie. I told my wife, I was like, look, it's hard up here politically, right? You know, with the radical other end of it.
Right, right.
I was like, you go back there, you're going to experience something completely different.
Well, you fight the other fringe.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. So, you know, the good thing in South Carolina is leave you the hell alone for the most part. You know, up here, all up in your personal businesses. But I didn't say anything about Nancy Mace.
No.
I just want to be clear. I never said her name.
Nobody said her name at all.
Nah, man. Y'all vote for whoever the heck you want to vote for, man. It's I tell you, good time to be in South Carolina. I think I'm kind of a homer because I miss it every day. People from the outside of the state, people think I'm absolutely bat crap insane because I live here. And then I just point to my wife. They're like, oh, that's your wife? I thought that was your friend, your coworker.
This is my wife.
She's way too hot and young for you. And I'm like, she's 2 years older than I am. She's
older than I am.
That's right.
Which is good for me. I get all the benefit of her looking like that and none of the BS of dating somebody in their 20s or 30s. Ah. Some other poor people my age.
Right.
Oh, man. I guess it's smorgasbord time coming up. Yeah, is Alex already in?
He's in and ready to roll.
He's ready for the rapid fire. I'm going to do it with Alex after a weird cartoon. I'm going to go through, like, Phil, during the break, think of like, some players and send it to me in the private chat so we don't double up. Let's just fire names of football players at him and get him to comment. That would be fun.
Okay.
And then we're going to ask him who he picked to win the Final Four. And then we're going to get his take on baseball, which probably will be, like, very informative, but probably not as passionate and negative as some of the other ones. I literally have a clip I'm working up of Bradford yesterday that's, like, this long. I mean, everybody's in on it, too. It's like peeing your pants and Billy Madison.
Right.
Of course I want Benary fired. Everybody wants Benary fired.
It opened the floodgates, right? It's just like, because I knew where my head was at heading into yesterday. And I'm like, and then he started to go down that path. I was like, okay, well, I'm not alone.
if wanting Benary fired is cool, then call me Miles Davis. All right. We'll be back. Smorgasbord with Alex Jones and a weird cartoon coming up on a March Madness Thursday. And Phil will get you updated on the scores too after a weird cartoon before we throw the rapid fire to Mr. Jones after this.
It's back. Tartan Day South, a celebration of Celtic culture built by Culpeper Wood. I promise you don't have to be Scottish to enjoy South Carolina's most unique family festival. Experience Highland games, music, dancing, animals, crafts, a car show and a parade. Kick off your weekend of adventure with a Celtic concert on Friday and a full day of affordable fun and festivities on Saturday at the historic Columbia Speedway. March 27th and 28th. Get your tickets and more information at tartandaysouth.com. Come see what you've been missing.
I said, oh Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
Now is the time. Finish your hardwood floors with Recoat Revolution. Beautiful like new floors in just one day. Hardwood, vinyl, laminate, concrete, tile floors. Any floor. We can do it. No dust, affordable, and 5 stars. Give us a call in South Carolina, 803-397-1365. Or visit us at RecoatRevolution.com. Go Gamecocks.
Welcome to SEC Sunday Night, part of the Chief Sports Network. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on the Chief Sports app, the Inside the Gamecocks YouTube channel, and on our X accounts. Hosted by Rob Williams and Craig McMichael, talking the week that was and what's to come in the SEC. Join us every week for SEC Sunday Night on the Chief Sports Network.
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
If you have experienced water damage, storm damage, fire or smoke damage, or need mold remediation, you need Resto Pros of the Midlands. Visit RestoProsMidlandsSC.com and go Gamecocks.
Tune in every Friday at 9 a.m. to the Four Quarter Friday High School Show on the Chief Sports Network.
Do you like hot fudge sundaes? All right.
It's the Gamecock Smorgasbord with Alex Jones.
Try the all-new bug powder from Gorse Industries. Side effects may include a substantial increase in cognitive functioning or a complete loss of cognitive functioning. You may feel compelled to concentrate on trivial and useless tasks, or quite important ones, like designing a new best friend from scrap materials. The drug will wear off. You will want more. That's why we're here to help. Try the all-new bug powder from Gorse Industries. Side effects may include a substantial increase in cognitive functioning or a complete loss of cognitive functioning. You may feel compelled to concentrate on trivial and useless tasks, or quite important ones, like designing a new best friend from scrap materials. The drug will wear off. You will want more. That's why we're here to help.
I don't think so.
No, but no.
I'll let that one go two times just for, well,
Jason. Well, I got back here late.
Yeah, so. Yeah. For your benefit, as well as, I mean, is that you not like the epitome of a pharmaceutical commercial?
I'll say this, though. There are less side effects for this weird bug powder cartoon listed than there are in that commercial during the SEC Network Plus broadcast. Whatever antidepressant,
you see a thousand times.
They just keep going. Yeah, you see it over, so you memorize. It's like,
yeah,
heart palpitations, indigestion, diarrhea, impotence, a broken leg, sore toe, spotted skin, you know, dry skin, itchy throat, itchy ass.
Makes it wonder, like, why is it worth it?
And it's like gonorrhea, death, and then the kicker is, and those aren't the only side effects. What
the
else?
One that gets me is, here's this new drug nobody's ever heard about. Don't take if allergic to new drug nobody's ever heard about. Yeah. Wait a minute. How do I know if I'm allergic to it?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the one that kills us. It's like, okay, well, I guess, you know, did he die? Bug powder. Mm. From your friends at Pfizer.
And there's a drug for schizophrenia now, which is interesting because they have actors in it. And I'm like, well, I, there was a time in my life I did a few commercials. I did a Volkswagen commercial and an Exterminator commercial. And this one's still out on the internet. I need to play it one day. It's this power powder, that's weightlifting powder drink stuff.
Oh, like some whey protein or something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah, I'll never forget it, dude, because they got a guy that looked like Axel, or what's his, Randy Macho Man Savage in there, like weightlifter guy. Dumber than a box of doorknobs, okay? He had one line. Are you an American or an American? Okay, I had one line, too. It was rip his country bumpkin's head off or something like that. I have the first line of the thing. I paid $800. It's in Raleigh. Shot in Raleigh. And this guy, dude, a great guy. Very nice. Not much going on upstairs. He could not get that line right. America won't. What?
Liberty, wait, what? Liberty.
Wasn't from the South either. Just from up north, said northern accents.
It took a bunch of takes.
Dude, it took 2 hours. And Francis Ford Coppola behind the camera there just had to get the perfect shot. I was cold. It was really cold. And we had to, I don't know. Driving from Greenville to Raleigh, too, is no spring picnic, right?
No, so, yeah.
So. Once you get to Greensboro, you think you're almost there and you're not.
No.
No chance. You pass 27 biscuit bills.
Many days yet.
I mean, I'm like, come on. Anyway. But I've done some commercials like that before, too. And so I'm like, where, so who got the call? Like, all right, so we got this new drug. Yeah, we want you to be you. You're going to play schizophrenic in a drug commercial, pharmaceutical commercial. Would you look? And the guy's like on there, and it's like it's the same character that's in every drug commercial. Slow mo, laughing with your family, flowers, right. Butterflies.
Right.
That means schizophrenic.
Is he schizophrenic? Does he have black psoriasis? I can't tell.
More serious, you know, a little bit more, you know, character. There's a little bit more character building that has to go into that, right? What do you think? No.
Yeah.
No. I didn't realize psoriasis was apparently as prevalent a problem as it apparently is. Like, I see all sorts of new.
Because there's 38 drugs for it. Why would
right. Yeah. It's like, hey.
<I'm> like, damn, one of them fixes like, the problem. It just fixes the symptoms.
Is that just a little dry spot, or do I need Sky Rizzy?
Start taking super beats, man. Yeah.
Well, the tournament's on, and
here's the score, Phil. The
tournament's on here. TCU is currently up on Ohio State by 15, 39-24 here in Greenville.
I took the Horned Frogs. Phil wants Ohio State to go out.
Yep.
Now, I kind of went on my Big Ten rant on Bill King today. Well, you know, the standard one. I could probably memorize it, that they're actors and all that. And Tom from Myrtle Beach, who's a great listener, he supported NIL at Carolina. I think he's got daughters that go there. He's a Coastal fan, but he's an Ohio State fan. And he sent a tweet at me. He's like, the SEC tears are real, and that's fine. I love Tom from Myrtle Beach. So I have to be careful about coming down. I don't know if he listens or not, but I have to be careful about coming down on the Buckeyes too much. I think in general, speaking of Myrtle Beach, you see the Ohio license plate in our state of South Carolina, and something kind of crawls up your skin a little bit. If you've ever been to Dirty Myrtle, you know, you're everywhere. Like, anywhere on the coast.
Anywhere on the coast. Yeah.
Well, I think they have such a presence that you can actually get an Ohio State, South Carolina vanity plate. Like the college, the offering is now, like, there are enough of them around here where you can get you an OSU SC plate. And it's like, come on, what is going on here?
Shouldn't be that way.
No, it shouldn't be that way. That's right. Yeah. I welcomed everybody to Greenville except for them.
No, Ohio State's losing good because I took TCU.
Yeah, they are same. I did. Nebraska's up on Troy 30-19 here with under six.
I've got Troy in the points because the theory is I have all these weird theories. Don't listen to me when it comes to the bracket.
Oh, me either.
Sometimes I'll hit it. Sometimes I won't. I actually doubled down on St. John's this year to go to the finals again. I got Michigan winning it all, but
who y'all have in the South Florida Louisville game? That one's really interesting.
I took South Florida, and I love Pat
Young. Louisville there, yeah.
Louisville's not going to have Mykel Brown though. That's going to be the thing, and that's one of the best players.
I think that's an issue. You know, VCU North Carolina line is only 2 points.
Really?
But I think some people that don't realize North Carolina is going to travel in droves to Greenville. There's a lot of baby blue there. So that's good. So Troy needs to get their act together against Nebraska ball. The Huskers. And my theory on that is a team that hasn't been in the tournament a whole lot through the years as a program. And sometimes they don't, you know, they don't play well. South Carolina in 2017 being the exception. Anyway, we'll keep you updated on that as far as we can. We're going to go smorgasbord and then cut it today. We may not even have a show at all tomorrow. No, actually, we will. Phil and I are going to open up the chat box.
We'll do something. Yeah, that's right.
We'll do something. We'll be around. And you got to tune into the morning show because the Stuart Lake and Bradford conversation is going to be less negative, not negative, but less let's say less direct, because they just talk about the game and inside the game. They're going to talk more about the series, so you don't want to miss that either.
Yeah,
we're going to start with baseball, dude. For Alex, because everybody else is chiming in.
Get it out the way.
Get it out the way. Rip this Band-Aid off. You know, read the side effects of Carolina
baseball. That's right, side effects of Carolina baseball.
You know, Frew says we need to have a barbecue competition. That's a good idea.
Hey.
So anyway, Your take on where things are at.
Oh, I mean, where to start? I mean, you're going on a losing streak. I mean, Florida, I mean, I don't, we haven't talked since then. So you go to Florida and you hold Florida hitless through three or nine innings pretty much, and you have nothing to show for offensively. And then, I mean, you lose that game in 10 innings. And you lose the Saturday game, you get into Sunday, and you just kind of felt like South Carolina had obviously missed their opportunities and, you know, what kind of attitude and all that, were they going to come out in that game? And you end up getting run ruled. And, God, you need to find a way to get that midweek win to find some type of positivity. And then, you know, Charlotte just – I mean, you make too many errors. Then the walks just add up. And then, you know, you hit the ball enough, but just wasn't enough there. And then you get into Arkansas this weekend. And, I mean, that – you know, Arkansas always has good pitching under Van Horn, and it's going to be that's the case again this year. And I mean, it's going to be hard to put up runs again. And you can't, you know, in the pitching staff, like, you can't think that they're going to have to be able to do nine innings of no-hit ball once again this weekend. And but it's just, you know, the schedule's not going to get any easier. I mean, then you got Georgia, who's a top 10 team. I mean, it's SEC, you're going to run into top 15 teams every week, and then you just haven't seen anything from South Carolina yet to show they can be competitive.
Yeah, that was my thing. There's no evidence that things are going to turn around. I think everybody's in agreement. Most people are in agreement with me that a change. What's the Hollywood Nights by Bob Seger? He headed west because he felt that a change would do him good.
Do him good, right?
He fired Paul because he felt a change would do him good. I don't know. I don't know if you have to fire him. I don't know what's going on. I just read the stupidest article ever by Will Leach, who's aptly named from The Athletic. College basketball was dying, but thanks to NIL now, it's back. I never thought college basketball was dying. Who the hell says that?
I mean,
it's because some sports writers, they don't think it's good unless they think, you know, these players, we like this. Stupid. There's so much stupid stuff out there, guys. Doesn't anybody care about the rules?
Yeah, I haven't seen any evidence that college basketball was dying pre-NIL.
There is more evidence the South Carolina baseball team will turn it around under the current coach than there is that college basketball is dying.
And Smitty just broke down piece by piece how that's not going to happen. So there you go.
Yeah, Smitty chose violence today. All right, so what we're going to play a game today.
My list. That way, he didn't have time to react. There you go. Boom.
Yeah, we're gonna do. I gotta give Phil's giving me his eye. So we're gonna name a football player, and we're gonna go. Phil's gonna go first.
Okay.
Then I'm gonna go second. We're gonna take turns firing these at you, and you just give us your quick 15 to 20 second take and outlook for these players, what you've heard, what you think.
Okay.
Not to go too long on it, but you take, you know, do what you want, and we'll have a little fun here. Rapid fire.
All right.
Or maybe not so rapid. I don't know. All right. Take it away, Mad Dog.
All right. Let's start here. Let's go with Mo Brown. Much talked about. Plenty of people wanted to know more, but Mo Brown, what are your takes there?
I think Mo Brown could be very good. I mean, we've seen him. We talked about him so much last year from a tight end perspective with him and those dump off passes. Now, you know, you have to wonder, you know, how much two tight end sets are going to be, maybe a lot of one tight end sets with four receivers on the field. He's going to be battling with Brady Hunt in there and some of those guys, but I think he can give you some from a run blocking standpoint with, you know, surprise kind of, you know, catching ability there. And I mean, we've talked about, you know, being one of the more physical football players on that team.
All right. So I'm next. I'm going to go with, since we've talked about him already today, go with Donovan Murph.
He, you know, he's one that, you know, want to hear more about from, you know, that year one, year two jump as a freshman. You saw what he could do last year. And now, you know, we was talking about earlier with somebody, there's a lot of competition in that wide receiver room. And now I think he's one that can take that next step because you saw what he could do in high school. But now I think, you know, with some of that competition in that room, but now I think he's one to really kind of keep an eye on because I think he and Jaden Sellers kind of really flash their potential, and all the work that he got last year is going to help him this year.
All right, Troy Pikes.
I have to feel like he's got a solid chance to be a starter there on that defensive tackle. I mean, we've talked about where he, you know, in that Clemson game really is where he flashed, but you saw him getting better and better as that year was going on. And I think that was something that we thought could happen with him last year coming from Georgia Southern. Thought that maybe, you know, as the year went on, he could get better. But, I mean, that D-tack room is another one where there's a lot of competition. But if you're, you know, just trying to guess who our starters are going to be in that game one, which don't, starters don't truly matter because they rotate so much. But I think he's going to play a huge role on this defensive tackle room this year.
Justin Uncle Runquo.
Yeah, I think he's one where maybe you can also, if you're doing a two linebacker set, like maybe you throw him in as a starter. Like he was another one. He flashed in that Virginia Tech game and maybe was a little bit quiet, you know, in the middle of the season, but another one that I thought towards the end of the season he was playing his best football. I mean, physical in between the tackles, but he's got the speed to get out there into the hashes, into the sidelines. I mean, you saw that in that Virginia Tech game where he chased down, I think it was either wide receiver or running back on that little jet sweep and tackled him. So I think he's got a chance to have a big year this year.
Caden Ramsey.
He's one, you know, I think the first word you use is athletic with him, intriguing. But, yeah, I think he's one where you have liked to see him potentially being in the spring just because from the other freshmen that it looks like we may talk about here that were able to get in early. I think that's really helpful for him. But a guy that, you know, at that tight end position, like maybe, you know, a redshirt year could be best for him. But, you know, it's considering what's in that room, but a guy that I think has a really bright future with what he can do. End zone threat is something I can see him being something with that because you saw it in high school how much of a, you know, just instincts he had from a defensive perspective with the however many interceptions he had.
Okay. I'm going to go with Peyton Williams.
Listening to Clayton White talk about him the other day, it seems like there's, you know, a lot of, you know, intrigued to what he can do this year. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, through his first few years at South Carolina was always a guy where he filled in for an injured player or something. He was consistently making plays. And, you know, in that safety room, it's, you know, I think he's got a good chance to be in that starting rotation, but he's going to have some competition with Currents, who's obviously off to a really good start with what some of these guys are saying. But I think he's one that he talked about yesterday, kind of taking on more of a leadership role, which was something that you heard a lot of those players, the defensive players yesterday, talking about from a leadership role. But he's one that I think, you know, with that experience, he can kind of take on a more of a veteran role on that team since he's been around for so long.
I'm going off script. Gerald Kilgore.
I probably just completely say what I just said about Peyton Williams for him. I mean, he's a guy that I think has that kind of leadership thing. You saw it with his brother and Jalen. Jalen had a lot of that. But Gerald, I think, you know, coming from last year, he's still getting used to position, being that he was a quarterback at his previous stop. But I think he's one that, you know, with the Troy Pikes and some of those guys that we talked about, he was getting better and better as the year was going on, had the interception at Missouri, the pick six and things like that. Like, he, you know, he and Quayshe Scott, you know, I think, you know, maybe Kilgore can play some of that nickel spot, but, you know, I think, you know, that's going to be a competition to kind of keep an eye on and see what he can do either at that safety spot or there. But I think he's going to play some type of big role this year in that defense, whether it be a starter or as a key rotation guy.
Okay. Brady Hunt.
Brady, I think, is one where you saw what he could do in this maybe kind of close type of an offense that Dowell Loggins ran from a passing perspective. Like, I think he, you know, continued to get better from a run blocking standpoint. But I think he can give them something from a passing receiving threat. I mean, you saw it in the Missouri game. He has some nice catches. You saw a little bit of it last year. I think he was getting more comfortable. Kind of same thing with him where he has a quarterback background. But now him getting more comfortable in the tight end type of thing, but he'll continue to be a better round all around tight end. But I think he, you know, he's one of the more intriguing names to keep an eye on just to see what he can do because I think he's got it in him to be that all around guy.
All right, Phil, last one.
Ooh, I got to pick between. Okay, you know what? I'm going to go with Noah Clark. We'll go back to the defensive tackles.
You know, that these freshmen, you know, Aiden Harris and Noah Clark, they're both getting a lot of talk about, you know, what they can do. But I think what's going to be interesting to see is, like, how high up the depth chart can they get from a rotation standpoint because that room's pretty deep when you think about it. I mean, you got the Troy Pikes, Gabe Brownlow, Dendy, those guys, Tomiwa Adorijai. You know, what are those other guys going to do? Caleb Williams and Christian Ingram in that room. But, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, I think he's starting to find his way a little bit, or it's good for him to get in for the spring from a, you know, reshaping the body types of standpoint. But, you know, with him and Aiden Harris, like, I would kind of group both of them in with this one. Like, what can it give you from a special team standpoint? Like, you look at both of them and you think both of those guys can give you something in like a field goal block type of standpoint. Like, can they get in there and block field goals? Some type of special team standpoint, but you know, those guys are off to a pretty good start, and they have a lot of older veteran guys in that room to learn from.
All right, so we're gonna play another game. All right, and then Phil, I want Mad Dog to answer too.
Would you like to play?
I'm like Mr. Quiz Show today, right?
That's right. Yeah, I like it.
So this game is called Weird Takes after Weird Cartoon, because they're things that they go against maybe the accepted narrative, or if there is a narrative about these subjects at all. In my mind, they are. Maybe you guys disagree. So I'm going to read a statement or a take, right? And then you guys answer either unlikely, likely, or merely plausible, right? Like, I think that's probably going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. That's, you're a real dumbass, JC, or plausible. Like, it's not crazy. It's just not something I would go for. All right, ready?
All right.
All right, so here's my first one. Gabriel Brownlow Dindy will not start. Bill, you go first.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to say that's unlikely, even though there are, like Alex referenced earlier, talking about Pikes and Clark, that is a deep group. The defensive tackles is deep. And I think that's the one thing that may prevent him from actually rolling out first. I have him pegged, though, to really be a guy who's going to take a step forward to show out this year. And I think that's going to evolve from now until through the fall and will earn him a starting spot. So I'd say that's unlikely.
So we have likely, unlikely. What was the other one? Was it the option we had?
Likely is, I tend to agree. I think that will happen. Unlikely would be like, I don't think that's going to happen. Plausible is like, it's not crazy. But it's could go either way.
That's where I go to plausible. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he is starting. But, I think, I just think Troy Pikes is going to be a guy that's going to be a starter just from what he saw last year. Mm-hmm. Just kind of depends, Tomiwa Adurajai, he's going to be a guy, but I think he's going to be really good, but is he, going to be the starter for him? You think back to that 24 roster, they just rotate so heavily where it didn't really matter who was the starter, and that, Brownlow Dindy's going to play a huge role on this defensive tackle room this year, and I think he's one that he was getting better as the year went on, so I'll go plausible where I wouldn't be surprised if he isn't starting, but also wouldn't be surprised if he's not, but that'd be more of because somebody else is just fitting in there.
All right, the next one. Gerald Kilgore will be the starting nickel. Alex?
All right, I'm not going to go plausible again.
Well, we're not. Yeah, and I just want to clarify. This is assuming everybody's healthy. Injuries obviously happen, but go ahead.
I'm going to go unlikely. I don't like him. I'm going to go unlikely because I think Kwesi Scott's going to be just too good to not have on the field at that spot, but I think Kilgore is going to be in the rotation this year in some spot.
I concur. I would like to change my first answer to plausible because I didn't understand the scale. And that one,
you're supposed to be the scientist and mathematician here.
I totally blew
how
that.
Am I supposed to keep the scale going?
I know.
I failed. I can't. Okay. I don't even know anything about the periodic table.
It's my fault. Oh, don't get me started there. I'm going to say it's unlikely. I agree with Al. I think Quasheed Scott is going to I think that the staff has their eye on him being the starting nickel just because he shows that athleticism that you need to kind of function in that way.
Next one. You guys are getting good at this. Nick Harbor will not lead the Gamecocks in receiving. Receptions.
Okay.
Receptions. Right. Okay.
Receptions.
He will not lead. I'm going to go likely. And I just think that's going to be something where, with the way they're going to spread the ball around this year, I don't think it's likely that he will. Now, not saying he won't have a good season, but, Jaden Sellers, I think you throw him in there, could potentially lead Nitro Tuggle. Those are the types of guys I could see leading in receptions.
I'm going to go plausible. I'm going to fall in the middle here in that.
Yeah.
You have options and weapons around him. Yes. And better ones definitely this year than you have had. More experience in certain circumstances. But if we're to believe that the offense will be tailored around specific skill sets of the players, then we may see him, not by much. I'm not going to say like he's going to be the clear like number one, but I could see him being at the top of the receptions list. I think it's plausible. Yeah.
I think, you know, too, like, you know, what's the passing game going to like, you know, he, you know, the quick game may not be where his strong suit is. Like, how much quick game is going to be in there for a nitro tuggle or some of these guys in space? Like, he's more of like getting into that intermediate deep types of routes. Like, what's, I think it kind of just depends on what the pass game is going to look like.
Yeah. I think if you have an effective first down, then the probability of throwing it to Harbor goes up.
Right.
Just because you have a lot more options.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting stuff. Here's a good one. Isaiah Augustov comes out of the absolute war, because I think all these guys are a lot alike, and starts at running back against Kent State.
Oh, I'm going to go unlikely.
Dun, dun, dun.
I think I mentioned it here a few weeks ago, like when we first saw him like at practice, like he was really a physical standout. And really liked what I saw from him, but I think he's going to be in. I think he'll be in the top three somewhere.
Top three.
I think I'm just going to go with a Matt Fuller or Christian Clark right now.
Interesting, Philip.
I like Alex's top three there. I think it's a bit more plausible than unlikely, though. Because I think that he has some speed and traits that we were able to see with him as a younger player at Colorado behind what at that time was a not very good offensive line. And the first half of the year was game planned very well, and the back half of the year was not. So I think he's got an opportunity to roll out their number one.
I think it helps him. They got a new running backs coach. Go ahead.
Yeah. Right.
That running back competition is going to be something, I think, just because you had some serious depth. And I was saying to somebody earlier today, too, it's like when you think about who's going to start, there's like four or five. You're like, okay, I mean, you can make a case for them starting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And people forget about Isaiah because he's not a new – it's not the shiny new toy.
Yeah.
And then a lot of folks have been waiting on Fuller and Howell to kind of get their turn because they've been here for a while. Isaiah came in over the summer. He had a really good scrimmage, and then he redshirted. Mm-hmm. I think he got in and got two carries and fumbled after. What is it about players? Catch passes at running back, get double-digit yards, fumble, and then are benched, and we don't hear from him for a long, long time. That happened to Jawaan Howell, too.
Yeah, he would have been one I'd like to see more of last year. Now, I understand the decision to redshirt him once the season went on, but we've talked about what the running back rotation and all that deal was last year. But,
weird.
I mean, he was one. I mean, you mentioned, like, preseason, he was making some noise last year and just never really got to see it.
He's very explosive at the second level. Not going to wow you, but if he gets going and gets you're not going to catch him once he sees that, you know, goalpost, from what I was told. And finally, I did this for Latte Lance. Mason Love will be the place kicker this year. I know the answer.
Yeah, I'm going unlikely.
Yeah, Phil.
I'm going unlikely too. I mean, you don't bring in Belenfant if
you're
ending on Mason. Place kicker.
Yeah.
But you know,
punter in
my heart, so much good to see him roll out there and just, you know, on the first try.
Dude, Lance would go crazy. Harrison said it happened to Rashad Amos as well. And then he went to how many 28,000 different schools?
Right. Yeah. And then he went on a journey. He went, walkabout.
I think he had a pretty good year, 1 year at Oregon State.
He did.
I'm thinking of somebody else.
A 1,000-yard rusher at Miami of Ohio. And maybe then he was going to go to Colorado, got out to Colorado, and then decided not to stay, and then went to Mississippi State.
That's right.
Yeah. And then decided not to stay there, and then went to Ole Miss. And I think he ended up at Georgia State. I don't know what he did last year. Georgia State wasn't very good. But That guy I thought had a lot of potential. Thomas Brown evaluated him and found him. Deshaun Fenwick's who you're thinking of.
That's it. Deshaun Fenwick, yep.
Deshaun Fenwick. So, who was a pretty good player, too, once he learned kind of the position and all that. Deshaun played a lot of receiver in high school. So, he had to kind of learn, especially to play low. And then in the pandemic year, he was the number two back behind Kevin Harrison. Heck, he rushed for more than some of the starters that have around. I mean, you know, he wasn't that bad. Well, thanks for playing along, Alex. I really appreciate that. All right. So, general question about basketball. How many portal? I mean, we haven't seen any portal entries yet, but I haven't seen any very many. They're trickling out nationally. Mm-hmm. So, it's not like all these guys are hitting the portal. Do you expect a flurry to happen relatively soon? I'm thinking probably once we get the Sweet 16, and you know, we'll start to see some movement. But your thoughts there generally, is it's been a quiet offseason since they got eliminated from the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I think, you know, once these player meetings, I'm not sure if they're underway with Lamont Paris, these little exit meetings and things like that. Like, once those get going, and like, you know, you have to imagine those conversations are already happening to it. Maybe some decisions are already made, but they're just not out there in public yet. But I mean, I think you have to imagine there's going to be some, and you got to have some room for, you know, an overhaul from a transfer portal standpoint, bringing guys in. So I think you have to imagine at some point those will get going. And, you know, sometimes though, you know, you've seen it, you mentioned it from a national perspective, like a lot of the mid majors, or you're starting to see that. You still, from a power, those power teams, even teams that are out not in the NCAA tournament, you haven't quite seen that get going yet. But, you know, in these next few days into these, you know, next week or so, I think that's really when that activity will start.
Absolutely. That'll be good. What are you writing on thebigspur.com here the next couple of days? Tell us.
Well, there's a lot of recruiting right now because we actually got a pretty big weekend for South Ghana coming up. They got a whole bunch of guys coming in quarterback-wise. Like, that's, you know, the quarterback board that's starting to get really interesting from a recruiting perspective, what they're doing there. You know, you still got some spring practice stuff from player interview things. Like, I thought some of those guys said a lot of good things from a leadership perspective yesterday. Going to have some on that. And, you know, I was in Atlanta this past weekend at the Under Armour event with a lot of good guys. I still got some interviews from those guys, too, to come up on the site.
Do you see Billy Tucker or Don Zalotti down there?
I did not, no.
Okay. You know, I used to go to the Under Armour was when I worked for ESPN. We did those camps. I always thought they were really good. Really, I enjoyed those. I like those a little better than the Nike camps. They're kind of a little less pretentious.
Yeah, they're well run. Like, because there's gonna be one in Charlotte here in about a month or so. It's really good too. And it's basically like same thing that Carolina kind of does with their camp. Like, you get a lot of the combine testing type of stuff. And they get some one-on-ones and things like that. But there's a lot of South Carolina guys there from an interest perspective. And, you know, I thought, you know, saw DJ Hunter there, one of the South Carolina's quarterback targets, and thought he threw the ball pretty well.
Yeah. You know, is it weird that I'm like not like the quarterback recruiting? I don't know. There's some recruiting cycles to me because, you know, I love recruiting, obviously, where there's like a blind spot where I'm just kind of ambivalent and don't care. It sounds bad to say. I don't really care about
it. I think some of it is what South Carolina has in that room right now from a young perspective. Like, you just got Landon Duckworth, who, I mean, has the potential to be, you know, in that quarterback battle, whether it be next year. I mean, if things go to plan for South Carolina next year. But you also still got Cutter Woods, who has 4 years of eligibility left, too. So I think that probably plays a role in that.
I think Cutter's just as good as Landon, and people should be just as excited about him. And I also have been told he's clearly quarterback number two. And from my perspective, I said this, I'm repeating myself, I feel much better about the backup quarterback situation going into this year than any of the last 2 years that Lenoris was the quarterback. And that includes Robbie Ashford.
I think Kendall Browse would be great with Cutter Woods. We've talked a lot about how he'll be good with Lenoris, but just from a passing perspective.
Yeah, and Cutter's not a statue. I mean, he can still do some of the run stuff with him. But, yeah, the offense he ran in high school, Westside's got some similarities and stuff. All right, Alex, we'll let you go. Who did you pick to win it all again in your bracket? I forgot.
In my bracket, I have Houston winning it all.
Oh, you're going to go to that well again.
I am. Yeah, it's just, I feel it feels like it's time for him to win one there at Houston. Like he's been so close every now and these times. I mean, last year he was so close. But they defensively are really good, and Fleming's their freshman guard's really good. Like I'm going Houston. That'll make Matt Ernest happy that I said that.
I used kind of some similar thought when I said Tennessee would go to the Final Four because it just kind of feels like it's time and nobody's talking about them. So it's a similar train of thought there, but I'm gonna give a hot take. Okay, y'all ready? A hot take. Houston will never win a national championship under Kelvin Sampson.
Wouldn't be good for my bracket this year, but I mean,
kind of the Buffalo Bills of the NCAA tournament.
The Buffalo Bills, that is true.
The one thing with them this year is they're not as old as Kelvin Sampson teams normally are. They're not quite like that, so maybe that hurts them a little bit.
Imagine going on a streak of Final Fours and never being able to, like,
sure, dude.
Man,
last year, man, and they had it too.
Yeah,
Florida was just kind of a team of destiny, but and it's nothing against Kelvin Sampson. That just seems like one of those. Gosh, you're just so close, but it just never seems to work out. It's hard. I mean, you know, you look at some of the great basketball programs of all time because of the tournament you have at the end of the year, and it's unpredictable. You don't have a bunch of schools that have run off, you know, Yeah, I think UCLA leads it with 13.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost been 100 years of this tournament. I mean, and that's, yeah, Duke only has like 5-6, and it's hard to win.
Yes, this is
it's everybody. Hard. Football is always like it's hard to win a national championship in football. Kind of not as hard as basketball though.
It's hard to win that many games in a row.
Single elimination, sudden death. You know, yeah. It's just not that. So anyway, this was a great episode of Smorgasbord.
It was.
I think we need to play games.
It started off weird with the cartoon.
But. It always is going to start off weird. We didn't have a VHS date, so I was like, cue him up a weird cartoon, Phil. So it's going to be either a weird cartoon, something from the 80s or 90s, or VHS dates.
Yep.
Got to get you trained up. All right, Alex, we appreciate it, buddy. Thanks. You have a great afternoon, and enjoy the tournament this weekend, man.
Same to y'all. See y'all next week.
Hey, man.
The great Alex Jones of thebigspur.com, always in for Gamecock Smorgasbord. Get yourself on the promo today. I used something from Sling Blend. Reckon I want to get me something other to eat. You got any French fried potatoes? You got any biscuits in there?
Biscuits in there.
You know, sometimes you'll love these movies and characters, and then you'll forget about them for a while. Then they'll come back to you.
Yes.
Because of like scrolling on Instagram and YouTube, that happens to me a lot like these days. And it's prompted, obviously, by technology.
Right.
I'm convinced Apple is something in my brain. But I'm like, I'm just scrolling through the other day and it's like, you reckon I'm going to give me something another to eat?
Yeah.
You got any biscuits in there?
Got any biscuits in there?
Let's get out. Give me out of here, Percy.
Let's go.
We'll be back tomorrow inside the Gamecocks, the show. March Madness. Don't forget, JB will have the great Stuart Lake on. This was fun because we didn't really talk baseball.
Hit it and quit it, right? You know, I mean, we've said all there is to say.
We've said it all.
Until, of course, there's more, you know. Until we see what happens this weekend, and then we'll have more on that.
I reckon I'm gonna go give me something under eight. Ha ha ha! God. All right, so check out the Chief Sports app. Download that bad boy. Also, don't forget the newsletter. Sent out a good newsletter today. A lot of football content inside the Gamecocks.com to sign up for that. Thanks to all of you to sign up for our bracket challenge. And special shout out to Bruin, who's been owning the barbecue debate on X, one. And then two, was nice enough to let everybody crowd in with him. He's got like the RV, you know, we all piled in there to go to the concert or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us all pile in. Or he lives in like a one bedroom apartment at the beach. And we're all like, we'll just find me a piece of floor here. I reckon I'll just find me a piece of floor here and lay down. I'm going to see Bruin. Rick, I'm going to see brewing. You got any of them barbecued potato chips in there? I reckon I'm going to have me some of that hash and rice. You got any mustard in there?
Got any mustard?
You ought not hired that guy to coach the baseball team. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm not hired.
Yeah, not hired that man
to coach the baseball team.
He's just a geriatric.
Oh my God. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks to all the chat boxers. Thanks to the world. This is a much happier episode of the show. Be back tomorrow, folks. Enjoy. If you're off today for Mark Granite, please take advantage of it. And remember to drive safely. For the Mad Dog, it's JC. See you tomorrow.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.